Thank you, my lovely. Okay, so welcome to those of us who follow on LinkedIn. This is QT Conversations. It's a lovely, open-ended, rambling exploration of what's on our mind. And we've opened this meeting late today because we've just had a really sort of generous, high-trust, personal conversation that is part of what we do around here. We support each other. As people, as well as practitioners. And that's really, really important because as a Jacqueline, our supervision circles coach mentioned to me last week, we are our businesses. We are our business's greatest asset. So there is nobody making money in tutoring in our business if we are not feeling well. So feeling well comes first. But the content and the conversation for today is actually about World Book Day. I don't know if you saw this morning, lots of little people going off to school all dressed up. Yes, I know. I saw a bell and I saw lots of costumes that I didn't name, but my 14-year-old daughter went as a character from The Bell Jar. Sylvia Plath, which I've not actually read, but it gave her an excuse to wear pajamas to school. So she was very happy with that. What did you guys see? Go ahead, Claire.
Not locally, but if you watch BBC Breakfast, there was
Yes.
a reporter in a local school. And he asked a child, "Why do you enjoy reading?" And the child said, "Because it makes my brain go on holiday for a while." And he said, "That's a lovely thing to say. I really like that you said that. Did you come up with that yourself?" The child went, "No, my teacher told me to say it."
Fabulous. Anyone,
Was great.
fabulous. I love that they left that in. Brian, go ahead. No, you unmuted
No,
yourself, so I think
I wasn't asking to speak. Sorry,
not
I
at
was just
all, not at
laughing
all.
about it.
Yeah. World Book Day, when I was in primary school, I used to run a readathon, which was delightful because for the whole week we just had an excuse to drink hot chocolate and bring in our favorite books. And I got parents and grandparents in to get involved, and lots of photos of people of children reading in unusual places. There was twins who sat one in the washing machine and one the tumble dryer, which was a fabulous photo. And we had such joy. So for me, World Book Day is a really interesting exploration, and it's nice to focus on children reading. If Caroline Hudson was here, we'd have her go off on one about oracy and the importance of speech and language and the development of that. The way that I ch shared book with my kids, my house is full of books, you won't be surprised. In every bedroom, there's one of these, and under every pillow, there's a stack of books. And I always know that when my children fall asleep at night, because I hear the thunk of the book that they were reading falling on the floor. So honestly, my life is punctuated with books, but our favorite thing in the world was audiobooks. And I have a friend whose 7-year-old is really, really bouncing off the walls with extreme ADHD, has only just been diagnosed. And I firmly believe that he would thrive with audio. Oh, I'm just going to mute Ryan. I firmly believe that he would thrive with audiobooks. And that's because you can share audiobooks. It's because you can do stuff with your hands whilst you're listening to an audiobook. It's because it will extend your vocabulary in a way that you can't access when you're reading. So what I'd love to talk about with you today is books that have changed us. And I would love to give you a second to actually share what those books are. I, of course, have two stacks of books that I want to tell you about. And these are just books that I spontaneously have pulled off my shelf because each one has a story. But I'd love to start with opening the conversation about what books have changed your life and the way that you think. And if you can tie it to tutoring and to your students, so much the better. Claire, you're scowling, so I'm going to go for you first. I know.
I can't read books anymore and I can't do audio. I just fall asleep. I'm so tired and I've really struggled. I love books. I love reading. And I've got, hang on. This is the book I'm reading at the moment.
Oh, good. Yes, you are. I've got one of those here too.
Have you got that?
I've got this one.
Ah.
I tell you which one I think is interesting. I can't find it. I've got one on women with ADHD, which
Ooh.
is really powerful because the presentation is totally different.
Yeah, I know. Well, tell me that about that one. But look, I've literally only got like halfway through.
Well, it does look a bit difficult, doesn't it?
And I just, but I just don't. I think with hectic life and everything, but and the audio, that'd be amazing. But I can't listen to audio books. My brain just goes
really?
Off.
Really?
Yeah, a friend of mine many years ago, who knows I love Terry Pratchett.
Yes,
gave me a little iPod thingy me bob, so I could listen to Terry Pratchett while I was out walking.
Yeah,
and I had to give up because I'd turn it on, and within 5 minutes my brain had wandered.
Yeah,
okay,
because I was outdoors.
Oh, yeah.
even if I'm indoors now and I put a podcast on while I'm cooking or something, I realize that I've something's got my attention, even if it doesn't, if I'm not doing anything, you know, cognitively intensive,
yeah.
My mind has kind of drifted off and I have to go and hit the, you know, 10 second or 15 second rewind. And
yeah,
I'm
kind of better
it.
With podcasts, I think, because I know they're shorter. When I go running, but my running time is my brain to defuzz time, and a podcast is really good. It keeps me focused, but a reading book now. I'm terrible, but I am trying. I'm trying to read a bit
why?
More. Why is my brain terrible?
No, why are you trying?
Because I'm interested. I want to read more. I used
why?
To read loads.
Okay.
So, and now I prefer to do a Sudoku, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I totally hear that, and there's no shame in it, and I genuinely am asking why, because we're all different.
Yeah.
And it's totally legitimate to not be immersed in books. And yet we run World Book Day and get our children to say cute mottos. So is it true? Is World Book Day relevant? Is that a fair question?
It's a good question.
This is a good question.
Go on, Brian.
You need to unmute.
No, it was me. I muted you brutally. No, try again. Wait, no, stop. You need to press the button.
Right.
Still can't hear.
Can you hear me
We're
now?
Very
okay,
good
fine.
Reading,
yeah, just a couple of thoughts. I think World Book Day is a great idea. World books need to be emphasized. We have too much chat media for us to listen to, and there's so much more that we can learn if we get into books. I'm a great fan of audiobooks. I listen to them all the time. I've just listened to one, a biography of a guy who wrote 100 novels in his life and 10 other biographies, and also had a public career. When you read a book like that, you think, my goodness, I waste so much time. I've got to get on with doing more. But the thing I wanted to intervene with regarding books is the very useful technique of dictation, which I use as a tutor. I have almost stopped writing things manually or typing for several years now, and I do almost everything by dictation, and it saves me a vast amount of time. For example, when I'm preparing a lesson, I teach English, history, and politics from all the way up to degree level. I have to write a lot of stuff in order to prepare for lessons. And I couldn't do it if I didn't dictate. And dictation takes a bit of practice, but is very well worthwhile. And now ordinary laptops, ordinary PCs, ordinary phones have excellent dictation facilities with no extra cost. And I encourage everybody who's involved in the reading and writing world, like tutors, to get into dictation, because it will do you a great deal of good. That's all for me.
I must admit, my dictation skills have improved simply because when I'm driving, I have to use that certain thing on my phone to ask it to send a message. And if you don't speak, you know, I want to get a clear message out, and you have to speak clearly. Otherwise, that certain thing on your phone will produce lots of rubbish. And it often takes several goes to send a message that actually makes sense, because it can't actually interpret what I've said correctly when I speak clearly. But yes, having worked as an audio typist, there is definitely a skill in being able to do that kind of thing. And you're right, Brian, it is a skill well worth developing, especially when you're the sort of subjects that you're your tutoring in maths,
Yeah.
less so, but
Yeah.
yes, it
Yeah.
is a
Yeah.
very, very useful skill.
And
I just
one of the
got.
things, I do, for example, is to produce model essays for my students. Now, this is something I've never met a tutor who does this, or indeed a teacher who does this, but they learn so much faster if you put in front of them the sort of essay they should be writing. And this is all done by dictation. And I find that they come on so much faster if you show them how to do it rather than simply tell them how to do it. What do the rest of you think?
Yes, and also then picking apart a good one as to why it's good. So it's all very well presenting it, saying this is good, but letting them discover for themselves why it is. Yes, a very, very powerful form of learning. I agree, Brian.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I'm
for
a some reason, teachers have an inhibition about doing that, even showing the class the best essay written by members of the class when the exercise is over. This they find very difficult to do, as if the class members were in competition with each other, which they are not. Every single member of a class could get an A star in their exams. They're not in competition with each other for a limited number of A stars. They're in competition with the rest of the cohort, certainly. That's thousands and thousands of people. So I always wonder when I talk to students why teachers don't take this shortcut to excellent essay writing, but they don't.
I
Tutors
found
can
that
do that,
they
of course.
in the primary classroom, so when I was teaching, I've used that bit in English, like if someone's written a great sentence, you show it up to the class and say, why have I, sorry, my cat's meowing in the background. Why have I picked this? What do I like about it? What's good about it? What do you think is good about it? And it's great to a point, but then you've got 30 kids all looking around, like, whose is it? And it, like, almost to a point of being slightly disruptive. But I can see with older children, it would be better. And actually, because I've got year 11, my son's in year 11 this year, and the things that he is struggling with is the essays in history and the English side of things. And his history teacher is just swapped teacher, and she has given him model answers.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and as part of your revision, take a look at this. Whereas in English, I haven't seen that so much, and you think, God, that is key. So yeah, it could be something, Brian, a really good thing for me to look out for him, because he's very much mathematical and sciencey like me. It's black and it's white. We don't discuss. We don't, it's
And
it's right,
I,
it's wrong.
yeah, I'm just recommending. I did a TikTok on it and things like that. Chat GPT. Lots of people struggle, science teacher. Six markers, put the answer, put the question in Chat GPT, ask it to write an answer, then copy paste it on the paper, get the mark scheme, and you be the examiner. You say whether that's good enough. And then it teaches them as well how to
I was
mark.
about to say
I like that.
they need to have a clear understanding of what success
Yeah.
criteria are
I
in
then get
student
a
speak,
library
not
of six markers done.
in student speak, not necessarily in mark scheme speak, but yes.
I really like that idea that you've just come up with there, because ChatGPT is not faultless. And I use it a lot to create resources, but I have to check every single question. I'm a maths tutor, and it often gets them wrong. And I mean often. So as a revision tool, I would not advise students to use it for maths at all, because they might be getting the wrong message. But what you've just explained there, where they copy and paste it and check it against a mark scheme, that actually sounds a really good idea.
Yeah, I've just
But
done
I was
TikTok on it.
also, sorry, going back on what Brian was saying, the difference between teaching maths and English, it wouldn't occur to me to not model an answer, because in maths, obviously, it's a very technical thing. And you can't sit there and say, well, if you add to the left-hand side, you've got to add to the right-hand side as well. And if you divide on the left, you actually have to physically do it and show them. And if you ask a child, do you want to have a go at that, or do you want me to do it for you first, and then you have a go at it? I bet you 9 times out of 10, a child will say, you do it first for me.
Absolutely. Always model and just then gradually give them to do a bit more to do, a bit more to do, a bit more to do for each one. And that's, building up their confidence. And it is this lack of confidence.
Because I can often do that with a question and I'm doing the writing, but I'm saying to them, and what comes next? They're not having to do the writing. I'm also maths, for those of you that don't know me. They're not doing the writing, but they're telling me what to do. And again, that's a different way, again, of embedding their learning.
Absolutely.
Whilst having it modelled.
How else can we use ChatGPT then?
Well, if I can suggest something, I suggest it's a tool for tutors to use, but I wouldn't encourage the students to go diving in there because of the difficulty, Claire, in the green jumper, because there's several Claires here. was suggesting. I wouldn't suggest, for certainly for my subjects, for the essay writing subjects, I wouldn't encourage students to go diving in because they might pick up incorrect information or information that is lacking important.
It must always be checked. But my youngest, she's 15, and I said, right, you've been asked to research something. Go on ChatGPT and ask ChatGPT what is there available, and at least that cuts out a lot of hours, and she can focus in on those things and see what they do and go from there. It kind of helps structuring and getting that basic information. I wouldn't say copy paste, that's your answer, never, but it certainly helps to focus and to find interesting stuff that you might not generally find. Don't know, but yeah, I'm trying to see how I can use it to its advantage and not, we don't do cheat. No, there's no cheating.
I was just looking there at a question I asked it. Basically, I wanted a graph, and I asked for some data for negative correlation. So maths people will maybe understand that. It gave me temperature and ice cream sales. In this scenario, the negative correlation could suggest that as the temperature decreases, the sale of ice creams tends to increase. This makes sense as people are more likely to purchase ice cream on hot days compared to cold days. That's what ChatGPT came up with. So you do have to be really careful.
Yeah. My husband's a Portsmouth football club, long standing fan. He knows everything there is to know about Portsmouth. I'm not kidding. He's got photographic. He knows an awful lot of stuff about an awful lot of stuff, and not just Portsmouth. Anyway, so I put some stuff into ChatGPT, whatever it is, about Portsmouth. And I did it two or three times. And gave it to him to read, and there were three or four things that it churned out, and every single one of those had a factual, it was incorrect in some way.
Yeah, you do have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
It is getting better.
I was going to say, contrast that with my husband, who is a software engineer and does a lot of programming. He asks it to write coding script for him, and he says it's brilliant. It says it rarely makes a mistake on computer coding script.
So, amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. So there are good and bad things. And have we done, I've put in a research project for blah, 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 and it's come up with things. And I do it for my social media posts and all sorts. So, but it'd be handy. Well, it'd be interesting to know what it does for an English essay. Anyone English? English, teach English? No.
I do.
Yeah. It might be worth trying it out.
Oh, I've given it a go. I mean, I've asked it, English literature questions, but the answers have not been suitable to put in front of a student unedited. That they have to be edited strongly, but they're not a bad way of starting if you're preparing a sample essay for a student, for example. You can start perhaps with an AI originated text, but then you've got to work on it quite a lot yourself.
Yeah, it's got, as I said before, it's about a lot of time, but you still got to do a bit more. Yeah,
there's nothing as scary as a blank piece of paper in front of you.
Definitely.
Welcome, Georgina.
Morning.
All right. You're missing cracking stuff.
Yeah,
We
they
were
just
already
gave
off
me a
topic.
summary in the chat, and I was like, how have we covered so many different topics?
Yeah.
Well, Julia started us off with World Book Day,
Yeah.
and did raise, I think the question she actually raised was, is World Book Day still relevant? Should, and because Claire was Wilshire was talking about how she's actually struggling with reading, although she wants to do it because, you know, and I have the same issue. You pick up a book and it's actually a very good soporific. Is it something, is World Book Day still relevant, valid? Is it still something that we should be investing in?
What
It,
blows my mind that that question came from Julia.
I know all her books.
Surrounded by books.
That'll be a yes then.
I teach maths and science, and I still would encourage all of my students to read literally anything that they can read, because just the process of reading is educational, whatever you're reading.
Yeah. I
And
make my students read in my tutorials all the time. I get them to read the question to me to focus them on actually reading the question properly.
Oh man, I can't
And
imagine that.
it's quite interesting list then listening to them reading and actually picking up on other potential issues, struggles that they may have that they
Yeah.
may not even be aware of, which is quite interesting.
Yeah. I've definitely picked up some stuff from my dad, because my dad said to me when I was very small that, oh, he passed on lots of his house is very much like Julia's. Well, I guess my family house is very much like Julia's. Every single wall is a bookshelf. And he said to me, if you go into somebody's house and you can't see books, you should be suspicious.
No, I actually didn't go out on a second date with somebody because for that reason.
Yay.
If you come into
He
my
also had a
house,
Hieronymus Bosch poster on his wall, so I thought,
if you come into my house, there's no books in the main house. The loft is stacked full of them. We don't have the space for them, so we just keep them all in the loft. So it would look suspicious, but honestly, it's not. And me and my husband have both got Kindles absolutely rammed with hundreds of books to read.
So I have this thing that I tell my 14-year-old at the moment, which is that in our day there were fewer books, right? And it sounds silly to say, but like, books were more expensive. My house is full of books because of the book people, RIP, who were the absolute best. And every time I took my kids on holiday, I ordered a load of books to arrive in the holiday cottage so that they always had this treat of new books. And that's how I amassed so many. They do cost a fortune. And, so many books that the kids are given to read because it's the canon. I say to my kids, there are better books out there nowadays. It just happens to be that 100 years ago, that's what was published. And I really do think it's worth being a little bit subversive, because otherwise you get quite judgy with books.
I think one of the things that we've been talking about recently is English GCSE, because the books that my son is studying are so old. And it's like there's a place for it, great, but they're all old and they're all written by men. No offense to the chaps here, but it's just not a variety. There's so many modern books, modern classics and stuff that just, what's he reading? He's doing Jekyll and Hyde, Romeo and Juliet,
Spectacles.
and Animal Farm,
I
and
was just going to say, an Inspector Calls. I did that for my GCSE over 35 years ago. And when
the
students tell me now that they're still doing an Inspector Calls, I think, what? Read a
Get
mathematician where our stuff is over 2,500 years old at least. I can't
Oh,
really
fair enough.
argue.
Brian, go ahead.
Can I explain why certain heads of English in schools choose old books for the set books for English literature, whether it's GCSE or A level? And that's because they're much easier to teach and they're much easier to learn about. My heart sinks when I take on a new A level English literature student and all the books are books that I have not read, because there's a vast amount of work for me and the student to figure out what's going on in them. And many of them are written...
Surely that's an asset, Brian.
No, it's not.
We should be curious.
It makes life more difficult for everybody. And if you want, if you're the head of English in a school and you want high marks, choose old books. Oh. If you want bad marks, choose new books.
I mean, look, it's for sure true. My hardest A-level was history of art. Because it was more difficult. It was way out there. The subjects that people have been teaching forever becomes easier to teach to the test. And Georgina, I know, has a lot on that subject. Do you want to hear a fast track of all the books I stacked up to show you?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay,
get us back on track.
Come on.
What's that?
Tell me what you think.
House on Pooh Corner.
I'm assuming that's the English, not the Latin version.
It is the English, and it's got all the yummy illustrations. Now, why do we share a book like this with our kids? Because it gets them thinking. Because this is really a philosophy text, isn't it? It is so thoughtful and interesting and funny and clever, and not at all like Bob the Builder. It is something really, really rich, and my husband and I loved sharing it with the children for exactly that reason. So, if you've got little people in your life, share Winnie the Pooh with them.
And you can actually go to the bridge where they played Poo Sticks.
Can you?
To the public.
It's
in a wood, and it's not far from where I am now. It's free, and you can go and play Poo Sticks yourself.
I love that. And do you know that there was a real bear?
Was it?
Yeah, I guess there was, yes.
In London Zoo, there was a real Winnie, who was a bear who was brought over by a Canadian soldier, and left in London Zoo when he went off to war, and Christopher Robin really did go and visit him there.
And he was called Winnie because of Winnie Pig, where he came from.
There you go. The Long Walk to Water. Has anyone seen this?
Nope.
This is a book written on two timelines based in Africa about two children who struggle to access water. One of them lives through a war zone, and the other one is a girl who doesn't manage to access education because she's always, always walking for water for her mum. And for me, for World Book Day, that's a book that teaches children how to reflect on worlds outside their own. It's an absolute beautiful book. And of course, it ties up beautifully in the end. Claire Wiltshire and I both agree that everybody needs to know about ADHD because we've all broken our brains recently and we need to know what to do about it. This is one of my favorite business books. It's called Together is Better. And it's, of course, by Simon Sinek, but it is entirely a picture book. And it tells the story of a boy and then a group of children who decide to imagine a better playground. And then they go back and they bring all the other children back over with them. And the message of Together is Better is let's imagine a better world and build it together, which is what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. I grabbed this at the Waterstones counter because that's where they put books for people like me to buy by accident. But Neil Gaiman knows what's what, and so does Chris Riddell. And it's true that art matters. And in a world where our children are taught to revise and write for exams, reminding them that they can be jolly well whatever they want to be and that's what the world needs from them is a very, very awesome thing.
Julia, that one?
It is an everyone book. To be honest, it lives in my bathroom.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. This is a stunning book. Have you seen Dr. Julie Smith's videos?
I've seen it.
If you're not following her, you should be, because her videos are the best insights into mental health I've ever seen, and she performs them. So she'll give you little visuals that really, really bring an idea to life. This is a sort of collection of all of her insight. It's so blooming good that when you read it, you're like, yeah, no, that's obvious. It's that good. So this for me is it's the most comprehensive, accessible read on mental health that I've ever come across. Why has nobody told me this before? So I highly recommend that. The Teacher Gap explains why teachers are leaving our schools and why they've been doing so for decades. It is crazy insightful. And Becky Allen is a mega clever person. So well worth your time if you want to understand what's going on over there. The reason I jump is a beautiful book written by an autistic person about the experience of being autistic. And my daughter and I read it about 4 years ago, and it has informed our thinking consistently. This is an absolute gem of a book, The Reason I Jump, by Naoki Higashida, with an introduction by David Mitchell.
Hang on. Reason I jump.
I'm taking screenshots of all these, and
I've
if
got
necessary, I'll
post-it
go
notes.
back and watch the
I
recording.
love you guys.
I've
Screenshots.
taken screenshots as well.
Of what's the name of the author? Sorry.
Naoki, Naoki.
You can always watch the recording to get the
Okay, Christina.
books.
Shall I do you some I'll do you a photo of the stack of them and put it on the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Perfect.
Because I love you. Ready? Also,
Yeah.
I really love that you care. I mentioned to you last week, Seth Godin. We did Seth Godin's The Dip in Book Club. This is the Bible on how to build a business that is built for the future. So a community-based business that is socially minded. This is the book. And it's so ironic that he calls it marketing, because really what he means is just be a jolly good egg and people will want to work with you. How's this for a curveball? Okay, there's a few things about easy peasy, awesome, pawsome, dog training for kids, okay? So firstly, this person, this author, also created a puppy training company. And when I needed a puppy trainer, I went to them, right? It is lovely to have a book that is connected to a group of people. And that's hopefully what the Qualified Tutor book will do for us. But also, I have found that it has taught my children to empathize, because it's basically a parenting book for kids, right? Because it teaches them to interpret what the dog needs and to respond to her needs before they get off the sofa, because she's telling them what she needs. And I find that so beautiful, that it's stretching their brain. Brian,
All
don't
behavior is
I've just
communication.
understood the concept. I thought it was, because I've always maintained having two young, well, the big boys now, when they were little, I used to say they were like dogs and they needed walking twice a day. I thought that was a book about treating your children like you were training
Well,
your
there
dog.
is one of
But
those,
now I
but
understand it's to get your kids to train your dog.
it is.
Perhaps the book, I'm going to write the other book.
I think you should write the other book, but I do actually have a book called All Dogs Have ADHD, which is about children, hidden as dogs. But ironically, I've lost it somewhere in somebody's bedroom. This is the book that got me reading again when I hadn't read fiction for years. Ruth Ozeki. If you are looking for a fiction writer who will knock your socks off, Ruth Ozeki, I can't recommend her enough. And this book is astonishing. Two more books.
Oh.
I love you people. Actually, the one that's we've got the whole series, of course. And the first one, Little House in Big Woods, is the most beautiful, because it's when they're sort of immersed and in childhood, and it's how they make maple from maple trees and then have a sugar dance. And it's so delightful. At the end of the book, they pack up because the woods are now too crowded, because the animals are learning to be fearful of people. And so they pack up and they go off. And this is the second book. The second book, I don't know if you remember, right at the end, they're told that they no longer have a claim on that land. And so, having watched them build their home from scratch and make their way, they then pack up again and leave. And it's so brave. And this book is just, it's a book about character, and it's so inspiring for children. And finally, I know.
Oh, long stocking.
If
Woo.
I was going to dress up for World Book Day, this is who I would be. And if I was allowed to have a horse living on my porch and a monkey sleeping in my bed, I definitely would. Pippi Longstocking is absolutely the hero that I would love my children to aspire to. So that is my little whiz tour of World Book Day. Did you guys have any books that you wanted to add to that list?
No,
One of
because I'm starting this coaching course and it's my birthday, but I've actually got a live coaching session later on. I'm just gonna have to I'm, just, I'm gonna I'm not sure. Does that can you see that one?
Yes. Oh, God, yes,
I bought it secondhand off Amazon. I buy as many books as I can secondhand off that
can.
place that we're not allowed, it's not supposed to mention. So I've just started that. I still
Gonna love it.
I haven't done my homework for the coaching call, the live call tonight. So I've got a couple of videos to watch. I need to start digging into that. But
I'm
yeah.
really, really happy that that's your textbook. Georgina, do you remember when you came and spoke to us?
Yeah, I have that book because of it.
There you go. So Michael Bungay-Stanier came and spoke to us in World in Love Tutoring Festival 2, maybe. And his presentation was one of the best presentations we've ever hosted. And he did this awesome thing that I borrowed afterwards, which was rather than having a PowerPoint, he had his points written on postcards
Oh,
that
wow.
he lifted up. So it made it so textured, this whole presentation, because he really knows what he's doing. He's a proper
Is
expert.
that recording still available in Mighty Networks or somewhere?
Yes, definitely.
Cool.
Claire Wilshire, you showed us your book that's on your desk. Have you got any more that you want to recommend from those days when you used to read?
Well, my favorite one was Martina Carwell. I used to like the gangsters, East End.
Really?
And I saw her once in Brentwood in Smiths. I was like, ooh.
I
That's my, I just like, yeah, East End,
don't
that's where
remember
I
that
went
either.
to uni and all that. So it's somewhere I can relate. So I used to like those.
That's awesome. Thank you. Claire Torbett.
So I'm terrible at reading nonfiction. I think I said before I've got Atomic Habits, which was the book that was supposed to change my life. But it sits very beautifully on the shelf back there, and I don't think I think I opened it, and that's as far as I've got.
It's giving me nightmares, that book. Claire, you and I speak the same language.
But fiction wise, so there's a book called The Man Called Ove.
Okay.
It's by Frederick Backman. They made it into a film with Tom Hanks, which I've never watched because I love the book so much. I'm just not going to tolerate any other version.
Okay.
It can be a little bit triggering. It's got a slight dark theme to it, but it's just one of the nicest feel-good books I think I've ever read in the end. Well, sort of, no, sort of about how it goes through and the threads, and it was just lovely. And I've read several books by the same author since, and they're all just, they've kind of got an undercurrent of people that are a bit unhappy, but it's so nice how it's done. I don't know how to explain it really, but yeah, Man Called Ove, I absolutely loved that book.
I will look that up. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Did
Claire?
you drop that into the chat, Claire? That I
Yeah,
didn't.
sure.
Thank you.
I think Claire's need to have a different name.
Yeah.
No, do you know what's amazing me? You're each knowing who I'm talking to. Go on, Claire Knight.
So it's probably taken me a year or so. I've been reading Alice Weir's Henry VIII's Wives. So each book is a wife.
Wow.
I'm on to, or I've just
Great.
finished Catherine Howard, which is the fifth one. But there was also Elizabeth I and Lady Jane Grey before that. So I love her writing. And she's done all the research. And of course, she has to do a fictional narrative, but be historical as well. So at the end, there's always these bits are accurate. This bit is what I had to make up to make the story flow. And it's really
Amazing.
interesting. And so there's the six wives. So I've got one left. And then there's Henry VIII. But the way she writes them from the perspective of the wife. So where you have Catherine of Aragon for a start, and Anne Boleyn comes into the picture, you're only seeing what Catherine saw. And then you read Anne Boleyn, so it's referring back to Catherine of Aragon, but then there's the next wife as well that's a maid of honor. So you're only in the room, if you like, with the current wife that you're reading, which then makes you want to read the next one because you want to know.
It's like a puzzle, isn't it? And it all comes
Yeah.
together. So
And
when you
I actually thought that, not, I won't give any spoilers, but I actually thought Catherine Howard would be fairly mundane because she was only married to him for 2 years and she was beheaded. But oh my word, it was the most exciting one when I got near the end
really?
because it linked so many things from the past. And I thought, because that with Anne Boleyn, I was a bit disappointed at how much she'd made up. And I thought, oh, I'm going to be disappointed because she's going to tell me at the end that I made this up and I made that up. But she said pretty much the whole Catherine Howard story was as true as it can be.
Amazing.
So,
And then once you read
yeah.
Henry, you'll have looked back on each of those characters because you'll
Yes.
see all of the wives.
Yes.
Can you tell us again in the chat, please, who that is?
It's, I'm not sure whether it's Alice or Alison Weir.
Could you put it in the chat, please?
Yeah. I'll
I
find out.
think it is Alison.
Right.
I think.
Kamal, can I call on you?
One book that really has helped me a lot, especially in teaching, is How to Win Friends and Influence People,
Really?
Dale Carnegie. And I think some of the, I don't know if you haven't, I suppose everyone has read it, but the things that really help me remembering names, that
Oh,
really
very
helps you.
good.
Listening, listen, actively listen, and also highlight similarities. You also have a connection
Yes.
with the student. That really helps. And praise, honestly, praise, give them praise. But not, don't give them a whitewash. Oh, you're brilliant. And they did a bad job, and you say, oh, you were brilliant. No, and I find specific things when you want to appreciate them. Say, oh, you did this well. Your handwriting was good, or you did something, something like that, and encourage ideas, and lead with respect, to create collaborative and respectful approach. So, and give them dignity, treat them with dignity as well. And these are things,
Yeah.
there was a story in that, there was a boy, and he was blind boy, black blind boy, and even very, very hopeless. There was no future for him. But in his classroom, he said, Miss, I can hear a mouse. And the teacher said, oh, Steve, your hearing is so good. And just because of that, this boy had no hope in life. But he, because of someone said, oh, your hearing is good, he started learning the piano and learning music and everything. And he, this is what he became, Stevie Wonder, because someone said something, always something good about them. So I use that, always praise, always say you're good. Don't criticize. Don't. No one likes to criticize. Don't criticize them. Say, you can do something better.
I like
Always
the phrase that you use. You said honest praise.
honest praise.
Very
Yes.
nice. That's
So
really
find
practical.
something. Find specific things that they've done well. Don't just say, oh, you're a superstar or something. No, that's meaningless. They will not. They will. It has the opposite effect. They will distrust you, and you'll come across as condescending, patronizing, and fake. But if you say, no, you did this very good, you did this very well, that's simple. That'll make them also it'll anchor that good habit in them as well. And I it works. I have a student, he's non-verbal.
Yes.
Whenever every little thing he does, I praise him. And guess what? Yesterday, normally, I'm a picture, and I say, if you ask him to say what's this, he wouldn't say it. But he point to where's the car. He pointed. Yesterday he spoke. He said, I pointed it to him, and he said, what's that? And I asked him, what's that? And he said, car. And that is such a big step forward. Just praise him. Yeah, just
That's a...
praising them. Praise them for what when they do something good.
Kamal,
Yeah,
you inspire me.
I was so happy, and the parents were there, and they were so happy. Yeah.
Quick, Georgina, tell me your book.
Well, the only book I have here is my own book, but obviously I can't say that. I
You
just,
can.
yeah, this is the best book I've ever read. No, it's the last lecture by Brandy Porsche. He was a lecturer at Carnegie Mellon, and was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and he had young children, and he wanted to use the platform that he had at Carnegie Mellon to leave something for his children. So he gave a lecture there that was about lessons he's learned in life, how to live your best life, which was about basically doing the opposite of what everybody tells you to do when you're a child. And it was so popular that it became internationally renowned and published as a book. And it is
I'm gonna
actually really,
do
really
that. What's the name of the
practical.
book? Sorry, what's the name of the book?
It's The Last Lecture. I can
Okay.
but yes, the fact that when you know the story behind it as well, and that he wrote that because that's the message that he would have wanted to give to his kids through their upbringing. It's a lovely thing to read.
Fantastic. Right, I am putting that in the thread now, in the social space thread. Everybody needs to drop their favourite books in. And don't give me your Goodreads link, because I'm never going to press it. Don't give me your spreadsheets. Don't give me your Goodreads. I need you to adapt.